Greetings once again in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we look at God's Word. The context is the second coming of Christ for the church. This is the believer's hope. This is the believer's longing. And while we have accepted Christ as our Lord and as our Savior and allowed by God to remain on this earth, we have a duty to be a witness, a light and a salt in a world that is dying, a world that is decaying, a world that is in darkness. And to do that, we have to watch and pray and never to be caught slumbering, sleeping. And first thing we are told to do, according to the Word of God, is to remember those who are serving faithfully, encourage them, so that they will continue to remain faithful, serving the Lord. For those who are in need of help, such as those who are unruly, warn them so that they will cease to be a stumbling block. For those who are feeble-minded, those who are weak, feeble-minded in terms of spiritual weakness in the mind, encourage them to study the Word of God, that they will be strong. And then for those who are physically weak, to those who have illnesses, and as you grow old, we all will have all sorts of illnesses, aches and pains, help them, encourage them, and do it with patience, and never return evil for evil. Because in the face of all these intentions, you're going to face persecution. You're going to have an enemy that is not of flesh and blood, trying to hinder and prevent you and stop you. And above all else, he wants to succeed. He is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know what a roaring lion is? Ever ready to pounce. He is ferocious. He has no mercy. And the moment the prey or the victim draws nigh, he will pounce and he will devour. This is the constant warring that we as God's children are now in. It is not a matter of choice. If you do not realize this, then you are not watching. You are not sober. You are in fact sleeping. If you continue on in your life as if this world is your home, and all that you care about are your material things, your promotion on this earth, how to get more money, how to live in bigger homes, bigger houses, how to prepare your children for university and for a future life of luxury, then sadly you are slumbering. And the evil one has succeeded, and you have now become another casualty. And if you are truly born again, please don't think that there is some form of automatic protection. The enemy, Satan, is no respecter of persons. There is no respecter of place. There is no place so holy that he will not invade. There is no person that is so holy that he dare not touch. He caused David, the man after God's own heart, to sin. He caused Peter, the apostle, to sin. He caused a man like Moses to sin. And you think that he will leave you alone? If you are truly born again, then be watchful, be sober, because you now bear the name of Jesus Christ. And because you bear the name of Jesus Christ and you do not live a life of holiness, you do not reflect the true nature of Christ, you know how many will be stumbled, how many would be led astray because you have falsified the image of Christ by the way that you live to your friends, to your loved ones. And what you have done, if they are not Christians, is that you have just actually sentenced them to hell. That's what it means. And so therefore it is important that we remain watchful and sober and not fall into sin and not fall into a lackluster kind of my own business Christianity. There is no such thing. If you are a Christian, your life must interact with many other lives. You cannot be a recluse. You have to meet people. You have to impact people. That's why God says, for those who are alive in Christ and remain on this earth, before you sleep, before you die, before the Lord takes you home, This is what we are to do. Be watchful, be sober. So how to make sure that I will keep on encouraging those who are serving the Lord faithfully? How to help those by warning them, by encouraging them, by lifting up those who are weak and feeble-minded? You protect yourself. You make sure you do not become a casualty. How to do that? The Apostle Paul begins by giving us a very wonderful, wonderful instruction. And for the next few Lord's Day, God willing, we are going to study how we can protect ourselves. And he begins by telling us to do three things without stopping. Three things that are very critical and important, that is indispensable if you want to remain watchful and remain sober and not be found sleeping. Three things. Not studying the Bible. Studying the Bible is important, but God knows that it is not realistic whereby all you do is to study the Bible without ceasing. He knows that's not possible because our mind is not strong enough to keep on studying because our mind gets tired. You cannot overeat. Studying the Bible means eat meat, drink milk. You cannot keep on drinking milk and eating meat non-stop because there will be indigestion. Right? You know that. God knows that. And so studying the Bible without ceasing is not inside this list. Only three things. The first one we are going to look at this morning is rejoice evermore. The second, pray without ceasing. The third, in everything give thanks. Non-stop. Not two out of three, but three out of three. And the first is the key. If you are able to keep the first, the second will follow. And then the third. They are all linked together. You cannot have number three without one and two. You cannot have number two without number one first. The logical sequence is crucial. So the first thing we have to bear in mind is rejoice evermore. Very easy to memorize, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Next, Lord's Day, God willing, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Also very easy to remember. Only two words. So take this home. Memorize this. The first thing you wake up in the morning, rejoice evermore. Throughout the day, remind yourself, rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And before you lay down on your pillow to sleep, rejoice evermore. So what exactly does it mean to rejoice? Well, what it means is simply this. Everywhere you go, you just ha 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 ha. Is that what it means? Then you will be bound for some place you don't want to go. Because people will think that this is a clown. You go to the MRT, everybody quiet, solemn, and then suddenly out of somewhere, ha 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 ha. Or you don't go around smiling at everybody. Everyone you see, you just smile, 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 smile. I told you some time back about this young man who helped me fix my steering wheel cover. And then finally he did it, and they say, finally he smiled. So I tried to smile. Everywhere I go, I tried to smile. Then there was this problem. Because two strange ladies smiled back. I didn't know what to do. I stopped smiling. I turned away and I quickly walked away. I didn't know them, and I just smile, 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 you see. So it doesn't mean that you smile everywhere you go. I mean, it's good to smile, but smile at people that you know. Because sometimes you may not like the response if you smile too often at strange people, especially a guy, and then you smile at another guy, and the guy thinks that you're trying to be funny. Dangerous. Rejoicing in this context simply means something that is in the heart. It is a quiet cheerfulness. It's a quiet happiness. It is a very quiet joy. It is inside. This joy only believers have. Only believers have? Yes, that's what the Bible says. It is a spiritual experience. It is not a carnal, materialistic experience. Only believers have this. Because the context is with reference to the second coming of Christ for the church. The context is our hope. That's why it is a spiritual inner cheerfulness that is in the heart of every believer. And we know this, that it is not just something external. Sometimes it can be seen by the external. But most important, it is something that is inside us, where the external circumstances cannot impact or affect or touch it. The external circumstances may impact our external responses, that's all. But the inward cheerfulness inside us remains constant. And you get stronger and stronger as you study God's Word, as you know more of the Lord, who He is and what He has done for you. The more you know God, the deeper, the stronger will be this joy that you have inside your heart. And we know that it is not something that is external or materialistic, that it is independent of the external circumstances that you are in. It's because this word is the word that we also get another word, which some of us are used as our Christian name. It is the word charis. Now, there is a member in our church who call their baby charis. You know what charis means, right? Grace. Now, some of us are called grace. That's the English word. Charis is the Greek word. That's the word. They are related. Grace and joy. So that means a person who has this joy is a person who has experienced the grace of God in his life. That's why we know that it is not an experience for believers, because for unbelievers, because unbelievers' joy is external and is based upon the external circumstances of life. And so you have people who make a living as a comedian. You know what's a comedian? A person who makes people laugh. And a lot of people like to attend shows where a comedian will go up there and make people laugh. That's not what this word is. It's nothing external. It's not just laughter because of some funny jokes. It is not a kind of joy or happiness because your children have done well in their studies. So if they do not do well, I lose my joy. If they fail and they don't study and they try hard, they still fail and the joy is gone. It's not about promotion in jobs. It's not about whether I have health. It's not about whether I'm a millionaire. This joy remains inside the believer, even if you have loved ones who are diagnosed with terminal illness. Even if, because of the faith, your dad, your mom is put into prison. Your children is put into prison for the faith. The joy remains. Even if your loved ones has passed on, the joy remains. It is independent of the external. You may be weeping and crying in your heart. This was the context in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Remember when the Lord told them, don't be ignorant concerning those who are asleep in Christ. Don't sorrow as if there is no hope. And then He says, rejoice evermore. There seems to be a contradiction, isn't it? You tell us, don't sorrow as if there is no hope, and yet rejoice evermore. There's no contradiction. The external that the believer has may be directly related to the external circumstances. We are not saying that pretend to laugh and all that when someone that you love passed on. It's okay to cry. You're supposed to cry, because the deeper the love for that person, the deeper the hurt. It's okay to cry because you miss that person. But it must not impact and affect the joy that you have, the inner cheerfulness that you have inside your heart. What is the basis for this inner joy and happiness that every born-again believer has? No exception. It's not only for mature Christian. The moment you are born again, it is yours. You may not be aware of it because of your lack of knowledge of God's Word. But the moment you study God's Word and then you realize it, what you have lost is the knowledge, the conscious knowledge that I have this joy and I didn't realize I have it. But now that you know that you have this joy from this morning onwards, from this verse, from God's Word, you have no excuse to claim ignorance, and you're not supposed to. God doesn't want us to, because once you're ignorant of it, you're going to allow the external circumstances to impact you, and then your testimony will crash. And then you will cease to watch, you will cease to be sober, and then you will become so drunk in the affairs of the world that you have forgotten that your Christian faith is more than just a Sunday show. It is a life. It's not a show. It is a life. What you see me on Sunday is the same person Monday to Saturday. No two-face, no double pretense. Just who you are, a child of God. I'm here to worship the Lord with my brothers and sisters in Christ. When I go into the world, my brothers and sisters in Christ are also out in the world. We are all witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, living a holy life, mutually encouraging one another. And that's why we have a midweek prayer meeting to encourage people to come. So that you will never forget how important it is. And that's what we're going to emphasize, God willing, next Lord's Day when we talk about prayer without ceasing. What does it mean? The joy of the Lord. To know that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, you're going to meet Him in the air. If He returns while I remain on this earth, alive in Christ. You know how wonderful that day would be? Don't you not long and wish for that day to come? You can't. If your heart is still in this world, if your heart is still loving this world, but for those who live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can rest assured you're going to face persecution. Satan will try to hinder you. Satan will try to stumble you. You don't let him succeed. Because the moment he succeeds, he has won. We are not talking about health and wealth, please. Reverend Timothy Toh, the last few years of his life were years of trial and testing. You know how hard it was for him to make a choice? You believe the Bible has mistakes? He was told, you can remain and be our pastor. If you believe the Bible has no mistake, it's perfect, they show him the door. He told Dr. Koo, when Dr. Koo asked him this question, just privately, any regrets? No regret, no hesitation, no regret. 50 plus years of ministry. And here he was asked to choose. And so they took away the building, they took away everything, the bricks, the stones, and the mortar. And Reverend Toh wrote them a letter. I would like to use the sanctuary to preach and to minister the word for the Bible college. No. They said that to him. No. Founding pastor was there right from day one. These were his students. These were his congregation members. And now they make him choose. 50 over years of ministry or the perfect Bible. The choice was basically Christ or Satan. Do you know that was the choice? It may not be framed in that manner. You show me one verse where the Bible has mistakes. None. You show me a verse where the Bible is perfect. At least 50 over. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. Purified 7 times. The Word of God is perfect. He held on. The moment Satan succeeds in getting us to contradict the Bible, to believe something that is wrong, we lose. You hold on to the joy. Hold on to the joy in your heart, even if everything is taken away from you. Everything that is dearest to your heart is snatched away from you. You hold on to Christ. You hold on because Christ is everything to me. And because Christ is everything to me, everything else is dispensable. And this is the life of a Christian. And this is how you guard your soul, you guard your heart. And when you guard your soul and you guard your heart, you guard your testimony at the same time. Do you realize that? That's how you rejoice. Don't allow your heart to be twofold. You cannot love God and mammon at the same time. The moment your heart is divided, once that is divided, that part which is taken away from you, that your heart is glued to, attached to it, your heart will hurt. And once your heart is hurt, you can't rejoice. You can't love your children more than Christ. You cannot, for the sake of your children, not serve Christ, not worship Christ properly. If your children are your idols, you are not doing them any favor. You are living a bad testimony for them before you die. Do you realize that? And they're going to pass on the same kind of result into the lives of their own children, if the Lord tarries. Do you want to leave that kind of legacy? God says, please don't. You love Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, so that you will truly rejoice, because a heart that is divided cannot rejoice. A heart that is completely yielded over to Jesus Christ, it is yours. Because the object of my joy is Jesus Christ. It is the blessed hope of seeing Jesus Christ face to face one day, whereby I will not be ashamed because I have lived for Him. I have served Him to the best of my ability with His enabling. So that when you see Him, you know He will say to you, "Welcome home. Well done, my good and faithful servant." Don't you want your Savior, your Lord, your Master to say those words to you? Or you prefer men? Or you prefer men on earth to say those words to you? They are not ashamed to tell you. Millionaire before you are 23. Oh, they're going to have many nice things to say about you. What a clever man. Please come and speak to our people. Please come. Clever man. Well done, they will say to you. You want that kind of human temporal accolades? Or you want the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord who died on the cross for your sin, whom you say has saved you, where you have totally surrendered your heart to Him. You want the words of man, and that gives you the joy in your heart? Those are fleeting. Those are deceptive. Those are empty. But not the word of our Savior. That is why, guard your heart, rejoice for the right reason. What is it that gives you joy? Does coming to church on the Lord's Day give you joy? Is it a thrill as you prepare yourself from Monday to Saturday? I can't wait for Sunday to come. Now, for other people, I can't wait for Sunday to come because they want to go across the causeway to enjoy. For others, they can't wait for Sunday to come because they have some kind of carnal activities or plan. But for us as God's children, I can't wait for the Lord's Day to come because it is not just Sunday where people worship the Son, but it is the Lord's Day where we worship the Lord. And I'm doing it with God's people. My brothers and sisters in Christ, whom I will see one day in heaven, where we will all be together, and there will be no more Monday to Saturday in the world, where there will be Monday to Sunday, every day worshiping the Lord. Every day is the Lord's Day. That is our joy. That's why the Lord's Day is the blessed day. And then when we come for prayer, it is a wonderful time. We can all come together and mutually encourage one another before God's throne of grace and mercy. While I pray at home by myself, it's me and the Lord, my presence with the Lord. But with God's people, another kind of blessed and wonderful experience. These are the things that must give us joy. Studying God's Word. After the worship, we have two classes. For those who are new friends, new members, basic Bible knowledge class. Yes, just begun. For those who have finished basic Bible knowledge class and you have been in the church, we have adult Bible class behind this door. We have Dig His Word. First Sunday, second Sunday, fourth Sunday, and fifth Sunday when there is one. And then after this, every third Sunday, we have a Bible study on the book of Genesis until it is completed. And then another one on Friday, studying the Word of God. Does the study of the Word of God give you joy to study God's Word together? Where you know more of God, know more of my Father, more of your Father, more of your Lord? Does it not give you joy to know more of who is this person who loved me when I was his enemy? Who loved me so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for me? And now that he has saved me and he has given me the indwelling of the Spirit of God, where I can now know him, because before I was a natural man, I understand natural things. Now I'm a spiritual man, I can understand spiritual things. And there is this thirst and hunger to know more and more and more of God's Word. Do you have this? This is the joy. This is the joy that is independent of the external. It is all inside and it is all spiritual, and spiritual benefits, spiritual blessings. And then your life will truly be an encouragement to those who serve faithfully. And then your life will truly be someone that can help those who are unruly, encourage those who are weak and feeble-minded. You know how wonderful a life you will have? To know that this is what God has created me for, this is what God has saved me for, and to know the purpose of your existence. To serve my Master, my Lord, my Savior. You know, the world has no idea of what you are talking about. They have no idea what they are doing on this earth. And so they will try to clamor and step on one another and to go up to this mountain, which they think is the mountain called success. And so they will climb and climb, and they think that if I become a chief executive officer of some company, or if I become a president or a prime minister of some other nation, then I have arrived. You have not arrived. That is a castle that is on sinking sand. That is an image that Satan has created and devised for the world to give them some wrong motivation for living, whereby they think that is living when actually they are the living dead. They think that is living because you ask any one of them, the moment they get up there, they may get their millions and millions and millions of dollars. You can buy any part of Singapore without a second thought. The moment news comes, you have terminal cancer. You have only 3 months to live. You think they are going to be happy with their money? You think they are going to be happy with their millions? You think the millions will comfort them? Doctor says, nothing we can do. Make peace with your loved ones and be prepared to go through this broad gate. For now you are on the Broadway. Broadway. Hey, that sounds familiar, Broadway, huh? Something in Hollywood, right? Broadway. It is called the way that leads to destruction. Broadway, and many there be that walk therein. And they are going to go into it, and they are going to get into that broad gate, and they are going to face hell itself, the fire of hell. But we are God's children. We have this joy right now, the moment you become a Christian. Why do you not experience this joy in your heart if you are a child of God? Why do you want to be like a dog that goes back to its own vomit and embrace the world and let the material things to give you the joy? What gives you the greatest joy regarding your children? In Singapore, it is studies, right? Studies and getting A stars and getting results, results, and results. And that gives us the greatest joy. You sure? Result, fine. What kind of result are they going to go into after they finish studying? They're going to go into the working world. You do not prepare them with the spiritual foundation and well-being. And if they are not children, what you have done is just like the kings in the Old Testament. You have just pushed them into the fiery furnace and they are now facing the fiery world. They're going to be burned alive. The only difference is in the days of the kings, it is much quicker. You keep on pushing them toward the world which is a fiery furnace. The hell is waiting there. It is a broad way to destruction and you're pushing them there. You don't care for their spiritual well-being. You don't talk to them about Christ. You don't pray with them at home. You don't read to them God's word. You don't ask about their spiritual well-being. And then when they end up loving the world, your whole world collapses because you know that you are now very close to entering the door of no return. The impact that you have over the life of your son, your daughter, is over. And the time that you have to see him or her is getting shorter and shorter with every passing day. You know that. And you still don't want to stop sinning and come back to the Lord and rejoice in your heart because you know that when the Lord comes, I will meet him in the air. And I don't want to have any regret. I want to meet him with clean hands and pure hearts, having done my best for his glory. A life of service, a life that is devoted to Christ, a life of giving. This is what God wants us to do when the Bible speaks of watch and be sober. And you don't ever stop. That's why I rejoice evermore. Don't ever, ever stop. Don't let the difficult circumstances of life stop you. Don't let Satan succeed. Rejoice evermore. Evermore means under all circumstances, not just only all the time. All circumstances. If it's all the time, then it will be without ceasing, right? But it's evermore means all circumstances, whatever circumstances that you have in life as a child of God. If it is to discipline you, then stop sinning, come back to the Lord. If it is not for discipline and it is to strengthen your faith, you rejoice. Even if it is to discipline you to stop sinning, you also rejoice because God says, please stop sinning. Come back to the Lord. Will you? Church camp is just around the corner. How many of you have already planned to come? Don't avoid. I've never been to. Then all the more you should come. That's the best time for you to know one another, to help one another, to pray for one another, and above all else, to encourage yourself in the word of the Lord, to build up and to strengthen your Christian faith. And the leaders have made it so easy to attend. If finance is the problem, the church is prepared to help because it is God's money. And because it is God's money, it has to be used for God's people. And what better way to encourage God's people and to encourage you to attend church? If money is the problem that stopped you from coming, please see any of the session members. Don't let money stop you. If you don't want to come, then let it be because you don't want to come. It's an act of the will. Don't make excuses. Build up your life so that you can build up the lives of others. Because the moment you become a casualty, then others will have to come and help you, pick you up. Then you become the feeble-minded. Then you become the weak. I hope you won't become the unruly. Rejoice. Innermost cheerfulness of heart. Why? Because I am a Christian. Because Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and I have handed my life totally over to Him, and He has saved me to the uttermost. And now this life is no more my own to live any way I like. This life is a life where I have surrendered to Christ, and I will do whatever He wants me to do. And if He wants me to be a godly husband, I want to be a godly husband. If He's made me to be a godly wife, and I want to be a godly wife. If my parents are alive, I have to be a godly son, I'll be a godly son. I have brothers and sisters, I'd be a godly brother and sisters to them. If I have friends, I'd be a godly friend. If I am working out there, I'd be a godly employee. No area of my life must bring shame to the name of my Savior. Every area of my life that the Lord has given to me must glorify Him, because this is what the Lord has given me to do. He has saved me, and He has allowed me to remain on earth for such a purpose and for a time such as this. This is the rejoicing, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that you must hold on to no matter what. Don't allow the trials and the difficulties of life to rob you of this inner joy, because while it is in the darkest hour, the light of Christ will shine the brightest. Any one of us can smile and rejoice when the sun is shining, when everything is well, right? Anybody can do that. And so even if you're a Christian, if you stand next to a non-Christian, both of you look the same. But when both of you are going through trials and the greatest difficulty and pain and hurt, he is sorrowing without hope. You are sorrowing with hope. You see the contrast. You see the difference. And that's why this joy will be experienced, will be tested in terms of its reality and how genuine and sincere it is in the face of adversities. And you will face adversities. Those who live godly for Christ will face trials and difficulties, because Satan will target you and your family and your loved ones. Be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever be watchful, always be sober. To do so, rejoice evermore. This is how we begin to guard and protect ourselves, that your life and my life may be a blessing to others and bring glory to the name of our Savior. Let it not be because of the material. Because you have money, your husband is doing well, your wife is doing well, you're healthy, your children. Let all these not be the reason for our joy. Let it purely and only be because you are a child of God. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me, O Lord, in the way everlasting. That truly, as children of the Most High God, we have much to rejoice over. Above all else, we have our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent to die on the cross for our sins. For he is the only basis for the joy that is in our hearts. And we pray, Father, for some in our midst who may be sorrowing, who may be troubled, in heart and in mind and in life, may thou grant to them thy peace, and to know that in the Lord Jesus Christ we can rejoice evermore, because the Lord Jesus Christ will come soon to take us home unto himself. And this world is not our home. This world is a world where we serve thee, where we testify for our Savior, and use us especially in moments of great adversity, that the light of God's grace in our hearts through Christ may shine even brighter. For this we ask with thanksgiving and always for thy glory, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.